The core is the central most important part of something. Hi, this is Greg. I'm one of the pastors here at West Valley Christian Church. The core of the church is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. This is what drives this church, not to drive all churches. However, how that is done varies from church to church. In this series, we'll take a look at our church's five core values and how they drive us to be the best we can be at fulfilling our existence. We hope you enjoy.
All right, good morning. How are we doing? We good? Oh, look at you. All happy. That means you guys got your coffee, maybe. So here's the deal. I have to share this. After first service, out there greeting people, made my way to my office and saw I had a text, and it was from my friend Juliet Sarah Lou, and many of you guys have been praying for her husband who has COVID and then was hospitalized. He's been on a ventilator for 3 months, and she texted me to say that the trach was taken out this morning and he's off the ventilator for the first time. Amen. And that is a huge praise. I would even classify it, Diane, why don't you say even a miracle, knowing the things that we know. And yet, let me just say, he's still got a long road. He's got a long road. So we need to continue to pray for them, for Juliet and his two teenage daughters. Amen. But I just want to say thank you, Lord. And we want to say thank you, Lord, for that amazing news. And for those of you that are joining us online, so glad that you are faithful every week in doing that. And yes, if you can't see really well enough on online, this does say Los Angeles Dodgers. Yes, yes, yes. So, yeah. All right. Brand new series. High five. And actually, I didn't do this last service, but anytime I say high five, let's just do this. Now, you know, COVID, we can't be tough, but just like this. High five. Ready? Ready? High five. There you go. I saw that at home. So we have five core values, and we're going to get to press into that. So I want you to put that in the back of your brain, and I want you to listen to these words that were shared thousands of years ago. You are Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church. Oh, you've read it. And the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail. This is found in Matthew chapter 16, 18. And I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail or will not overcome it. If you've been around the church long enough, I've oftentimes, when I've shared this, I've said, what was in Jesus' mind's eye when he said these words? Like, what was he thinking about when he said, upon this rock I will build my church? What is he picturing? Is it brick and mortar? I love the movie Field of Dreams. Did you know that? You go in my office and there's this big giant poster. And if people don't know, they'll think I'm in love with Kevin Costner or something, because there he is in my office. Kind of weird, I admit. But the reason it's in there is because that movie is so powerful for me. Where everybody saw a cornfield, Kevin Costner's character saw what? Saw a baseball field. Everyone saw a cornfield but one person. Kevin Costner saw a ball field. There's also another photo that hangs in my office. Yes, I'm a Disney person. And in there is a picture of a field, black and white, of an orange grove in Anaheim. And where everybody saw an orange grove on that property, Walt Disney saw Disneyland. Are you with me? And as much as I would love Walt Disney and his vision and his creativity, and as much as I love the character of Kevin Costner's in Field of Dreams and their ability to see what nobody else sees, Jesus is even better. Understatement. Jesus is better than Kevin Costner. Jesus is better than Walt Disney. So what is it that Jesus saw when he said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail? That's where I want us to camp for a second. Do you know this? That Jesus loves the church. Jesus loves the church. But what is that? When I make that statement, what is it that he loves? Does he love the personalities that have risen up over the years in churches? Does he love the programs that the churches have created? Does he love the landscape? Does he love the slogans, the one-liners? And I would say no. This is what Jesus loves about the church. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. And if you've been here long enough, you should be able to quote this. You should probably even wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning hearing Pastor Rob use these words because we say them all the time. But if you're like me, I have amnesia. I forget all the time. From week to week, I forget what is important and what is not important. Can anyone relate to that? Matthew chapter 22, Jesus says this, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, let's say this all together. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and all of the prophets hang on these two commandments." And as we say it over and over again, the church is all about, or should be all about, loving God and loving people. This is the core of the church. It's not personalities. It's not buildings. It's not money. It's not programs. The church is all about loving God and loving people. And I believe that this is part of what Jesus is picturing, if not all of what Jesus is picturing, when he says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." You see, this is the core of the church. Are you with me? This is the core of the church. The core. What does that mean? You look it up in Webster's. It says simply this. Core equals the central or most important part of something. The central or most important part of something. So what is the core of the church? It's the gospel. And some of you are like, gospel, that's kind of a weird one word. Maybe your mind goes to a music style, right? Which is good stuff. But here's the reality. The gospel is the DBR. Can you say DBR with me? DBR. Let's say it again. DBR. You're like, okay, what did I just do? Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. This is the good news. So when we read the first four books of the New Testament, you got the gospel according to Matthew. Then you got the gospel according to Mark. Then you got the gospel according to Luke. Then you got the gospel according to John. This is the good news according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the central message, is good news. It's the gospel. And if I said, quote after me, DB, we'd be in a lot of trouble. Because then we'd be saying the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, period, we're done. Don't be sitting here in purple chairs wasting your time then. Amen? We have no hope. We have no purpose. Be selfish. Be conceited. Be all about yourself. Promotion of self. Go for it. But because Jesus is DBR, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have good news. Isn't that awesome? We've been set free. And this is the core. This is the core of what the church ought to be. Romans chapter 5, turn there. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. You see, at just the right time, I like this. It's God's timing, not mine. When we were still what? Powerless. Christ died for who? The ungodly. Guess what? That's me. Guess what? That's you. He died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates, this is good, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. That's the good news. This is the message that is going to change the world. It's not Garcetti that's going to change the world. It's not Newsom that's going to change the world. It's not our president or our vice president. It's not Republicans. It's not Democrats. It's the good news of Jesus Christ that's going to change this world. And yet we, the church, could get off center. And I've said it in the first service. It's like today's a chiropractic session. Because some, including the pastor, need to be adjusted to what's important. And what's most important. And what's most important for the church. And we could get off on all these other agendas and pay attention to all this other squeaky wheel stuff. But you and I as Christ followers need to make sure that we're centered on what is most important. And that's the gospel. Amen. You see, you and I have been set free for a purpose. And we talked a lot about that last week. But our purpose is, at the end of the day, is to love God. And sometimes that's really hard for me. How about you? Sometimes that's hard because I could get bitter, or I could get angry, or I could have a lot of success and credit it to myself, right? There's a lot of things that could cause me to get off kilter. So loving God is a process. Loving God is something I have to work at. And the whole loving people thing, I love people. But I forgot another important word that I shared with you a few months ago. I love certain people. And so I am a work in progress. But this is what the church is all about. This is what ought to drive West Valley Christian Church. And honestly, it should drive all churches. It should all drive all churches. The central core, the gospel, loving God, loving people, should be in every pulpit across this nation, across this world. That's a bold statement, I know, but I believe it with all of my heart. And I'll share where we could go sideways in a healthy way in how we accomplish that. Because core values, then, is where God has given us the freedom. Does that make sense? We are not to be the church next door, Calvary. Their pastor, good guy, good people. Their core should be the same as ours. Love God, love people. Amen? But they can live that out differently according to their talents and giftedness. The Methodist church down the street, they should live it out differently. Our sister church, Shepherd of the Hills, Shepherd. No, if you go way back, I know them as Hillcrest Christians, so they've gone through some morphine there. But Shepherd could love God and love people, but play it out in a different way than us because we're gifted differently. Look at that practically, right? God has given me certain gifts, and God has given me certain talents. He's given Pastor John certain gifts and certain talents, so I shouldn't have to be like him, and he shouldn't be like me. Are you with me? But we should all be, both of us should be driving towards loving God and loving people. And it's the same with churches. We have different unique characteristics about us. So we're not supposed to be Shepherd. We're not supposed to be in the Methodist church down the street. We're not supposed to be Calvary. We're supposed to be our best West Valley that we could be. And so for us, when I took over, we never had this, but when I took over, it was a long process of years. But I came up with 5 core values for our church. And these 5 core values drive our church. They drive our, I always point up there because that's where our staff meeting is. Not in heaven, but just below. And that drives. It's a filter in which we press everything through. And so for the next 5 weeks, we get to share with you our 5 core values, which we do once a year. And they're all over the wall on the other side. Meet the pastor at the pizza thing. We share about it. It's in our Discover Life class. And we can even do a better job of it. But it's a filter which we press everything through. So if you're taking notes, write down 1, core values. It's one's judgment of what is important in life. That's a core value. It's a guiding principle that dictates behavior. It drives behavior. It's a gauge or a filter to help determine if you are on the right path. Now, I'm not telling you have to do this for your own life, but it wouldn't be bad for you to think through what is really important to me. What drives me? What are my 4, 5, 6 core values? I want to encourage more than that. There's not a magic number, but I keep it there because it's hard just to even keep those 5 for us. But for West Valley, it helps guide us. It's a filter to determine if we're on the right path. it gets talked about a lot, at least in my brain. So write this down. We're going to be introduced to our very first one. Again, I hope and pray this isn't new. But we're going to be readjusted and be realigned and be reminded of what's important here. The first core value, life change. Can you say that with me? Life change. You see, we see Jesus as one that is interested in us becoming better. It's not a one and done thing, but change is a process, amen? And change one day could be this, and then I got that all figured out, and then I look over here, and all of a sudden, something that was never something that needed to be changed is now needs to be changed. Have you figured that out in your own life? It's like, man, once I get this going and going in the right path, now this is over here. It's like spinning all these plates and trying to keep it going. But life change is a lifetime. It's not microwave. It's not give ourselves to Jesus, pop inside of a microwave, get baptized, get wet, say yes, Jesus. Now my mouth works. Now my heart works. Now my mind works. Now my feet work. Now everything about me is Christ-like. It hasn't happened to me yet. And I've hung out with some of you. And that hasn't necessarily happened with you either. Because life changes a process. Can I hear amen to that? Whew, sometimes like the Chuck Swindoll book, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. But we've made progress, haven't we? And that seems to be my life. It's like, whew. So life change. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's the key, in Christ, right? If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has what? The new creation's come, the old is gone, and the what is here? The new is here. The old is gone, amen? And the new is here. And then the old shows up again. Anyone relate to that? It's like, oh, man, I just got my tongue in check. And there I am again, blah, 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 right? Oh, I just got my anger in check. Ah, oh, there it goes again. Oh, I just got my eyes in check. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I just got my thought about people in check. And whoop, squirrel. One of the things that's so important for me and the staff, you know your staff loves you. It's not a job for them. It's a lifestyle. Our staff goes above and beyond on a weekly basis because they love you. And I thank you for loving them. I thank you for loving them. Can I just ask you this? Every once in a while, can you send them a note? Take you 15 seconds. Just say thank you. And you know what? You don't even have to go to CVS to get a card. You could just write it on your connected card and just say, you know what, Amy, thank you for loving our kids. Zach, you're awesome for putting up with junior hires. Greg, thanks for putting the online thing every week. Whatever. Total side note. But here's the reality. If Amy did all that she did, and Zach does all that he does, and John and Cynthia, I mean, you name the entire staff and myself, we give everything we can, and we stay the same and you stay the same. You know who's happy? The enemy. Because the enemy doesn't care if Rob Denton does, oh, this would be scary, cartwheel. The enemy doesn't care if we hand out $10 bills. The enemy doesn't care if you have 100% attendance here at West Valley. The enemy doesn't care if every seat is filled for 5 services here. The enemy cares as if you and I change. Healthy things grow. And so for self-evaluation, you ought to be asking yourself throughout this service, am I growing? And sometimes it's hard to identify our own growth, so now we have someone in our life, men with men, women with women. You just say, hey, do you see that I'm getting better? And you have to be vulnerable that way, right? Because you might get a no. Actually, I think you're going backwards. And that's all done in love, but isn't that true? Healthy things grow. And Jesus is interested in us becoming more and more like him, not so that we could be him, but so that we can enjoy life abundantly here on this earth, according to John 10:10. Are you with me? Life change is so important. I I look at my own life, and sometimes I'm my worst critic. Can you agree with that? Are some of you that way? It's like, man, I'm my worst critic. And so I love the Barnabases in my life that encourage me with things that maybe I don't see in myself. And that's a whole other thing. We should be Barnabases for other people, because the truth is most of us are not so self-consumed that we think we're all that. Most of us think a little bit less than we ought to think about ourselves. Bonus. But remember last week we talked about justification? Big word, right? Just as if I had not sinned. And Jesus' death justified, right? Jesus on the cross took care of all of our sin. He did everything and we did nothing. Do you remember that? And because us connecting with that, then we punched a ticket to heaven. That's all good. But the problem is he didn't just set us free so that we could get to heaven. He set us free for sanctification. And we talked about sanctification. Sanctification is transformation. Transformation is change, and change is a process. Did you catch that? Sanctification is transformation. Transformation is change, but change is a process. And so we're all a work in process, aren't we? Our mind is being sanctified. Our mouth is being sanctified. Our hands are being sanctified. Our heart is being sanctified. Our feet are being sanctified. Everything is a process. My life is different. If you knew me as Robbie Denton, 18 years old, outside of Christ, I am a totally different person. Yeah, I had more hair then. Yes, when I turned sideways, you couldn't see me. Now I turn sideways and I sport the dad bod. It's in. I'm just trending, all right? All right? But there's those kind of transformations, right? Jesus, that's not what we're talking about. Jesus is talking about the life change. My mouth is different than when I was 18. That scares me. But it still could be better. What I look at 18 is totally different now at 53. But you know what? I still could be better. Things that I would be addicted to. Sports was my God. That's not even a radar. I love my sports, but I could even miss a Dodger game. Yep. I was here for fight night on Thursday night when the biggest game of the year. Because that's what's important. And I still got to see the game afterwards, right? But Rob Denton in the past, do you see what I'm saying? And you guys have changed. Give yourself credit. But then guess what? Things that never were struggles when I was 18 are struggles now. And so I'm continually being transformed. How about you? I love that Jesus loves me and he wants life change. And that's why as a pastor, I'm going to get real here. And it doesn't mean it's right for everybody. But as a pastor, I have a very strong conviction of what I'm supposed to do from this stage and what I'm not supposed to do. Because when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And I said, what does he picture in his mind's eye about what the church is? I believe the church is all about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, helping people to love people and to love God. And that is what ought to drive what happens from this pulpit. And so my job and Pastor John's job from this pulpit is to teach God's word. It is to help educate. It's to help equip. It's to help encourage. It's to help challenge you to be the best you can be in Christ. So that when you walk outside these doors, you're going to be the best employee, the best employer, the best citizen, the best neighbor, the best ... that you could be. And so you don't need to hear from the pulpit my position on politics, my position on mandates, my position on social justice, my position on all this other stuff. And then we throw the gospel out the door as secondary. We need to be reminded of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is what ought to drive us. So then when you guys leave, you get to decide who you're going to line up with, who you're going to vote, what organizations you want to participate in, and what things you want to do. Praise God, go out there and do it. But what this guy needs to do from this place is to point you to this, to readjust us, to make sure we're lined up with Christ. And when churches get sideways on all this stuff, and then they can become popular because they line themselves up with certain stuff, We've missed the boat. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. And I keep saying this. Why are people not walking up to me complaining about, Pastor, why are there not more changed lives? Why are we not having more baptisms? I get, why are you not wearing a mask? Why aren't you promoting vaccine or not vaccine? Why are you not promoting this candidate and this candidate? Why are you not promoting? I don't care if you're vaccinated or not vaccinated. I don't care where you stand on mask or not mask. I don't care what side of the political agenda you stand. Shouldn't we be more concerned that people are going to eternity without Jesus? But we're more concerned whether people are vaccinated or not vaccinated, as opposed to whether they know Jesus or not. And we get the cart before the house. That doesn't mean all that stuff isn't important. All those things that I mentioned are important, but they're not more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ. We could have every homeless person in a luxury tower with all-you-could-eat buffets and miss the mark if they don't know Jesus. Everybody in the world could be vaccinated, but if they don't know Jesus, everyone could be a part of this party, whatever this party is, and not know Jesus. And guess who's won? The devil. So what we got to do is bring Jesus into every one of those areas. If you're all about vaccination, bring them into there. If you're all about unvaccinated, bring them into there. If you're all about taking care of homeless, bring them into there. If you're all about open arms ministry and pro-life, bring them into there. You see what I'm saying? Go for it. Doesn't mean we should be quiet, but we got to bring Christ into those things, not crisis. Okay. You see, the gospel is not a positive, ear-tickling, I promise you all these blessings message. Like, where did that happen? And I'm gonna say this in love. It is so tempting, even as a pastor, to be liked. Is that bad that I want to be liked? It's so tempting. I trust, you don't even know how many acting classes I've taken in my lifetime and how much drama was a part of my life. I could come up here and be all that. Oh, I can make you cry. I can make you laugh, you know. I could pour it all. And unfortunately, we have churches that a personality has become more important than the gospel. So even the stuff I'm saying right here is not pretty. It's not ear tickling. I don't know if anyone's, oh, goosey, goosey. But it's truth. And I've said it to you many times. The best compliment I ever get is, Pastor, every Sunday it seems like you hug me and kick me in the butt at the same time. Okay? I don't like saying a lot of the stuff that I say, but it's God's word. It's God's word. Let's get back to what is most important. You know, Paul said it this way to the Galatians, that we're kind of getting sideways. And in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting to the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and turning to a what? Turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be under God's curse. Those are strong words. As we have already said, so now I say it again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be under the curse of God. Some translations say, let him be eternally condemned. And what that translates out is, let him go to hell. Paul was so ticked off that the church in Galatia was preaching a gospel other than the true gospel. He was saying, you're preaching a different gospel that's not a gospel. And that is what is happening throughout some churches here today, worldwide, that we're preaching a gospel that is not the gospel at all. And we got to get back to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That means he's taken care of everything, justification, but sanctification means we ought to be changing. It's not like let's just sit in purple chairs and do whatever we're doing until he gets back and we punch our ticket to heaven there. Remember, sanctification, justification is going up to heaven. Sanctification is bringing a little heaven down here to earth. Because when I'm being sanctified, I'm different. And I'm better. How about you? Oh. Enough of me babbling. I'm going to bring my brother up here. John Pinto. Give it up to him. Give it up to him. Give it up for him. John Pinto is the father of Mandy Pinto, who's our worship leader. John, you see him on the bass. You see him on guitar. You see him drumming. We have a lot in common. We both love God. We are both Italians, so we love Cavarettas. And we both love the Doyas.
Oh, the Doyas.
So, John.
Yes, sir.
The Bible talks a lot about life change, right? Aram, the very beginning, all the way throughout. Then you've got the man of Pool of Bethsaida. By the way, look at John chapter 5 this week. John chapter 5, 1 through 9. You're going to see the story of the paralyzed man, 38 years, right? And he always wanted to get in that water to be healed. And finally, Jesus comes up to him and says, hey, do you want to get well? Which I think is a weird question, but Jesus knows better. The guy finally goes in the water, he comes out, and he's walking, right? That's a changed life. Got him all throughout Scripture. But I wanted to bring a 2021 with a cool hat. Changed life.
Oh, boy.
So, John, while I catch my breath.
Okay.
Tell us about who you were before Jesus.
The name is the same. The guy is different. Growing up in an Italian Catholic family, I'm sure there are some here that can understand that. I went to Catholic school for the first 8 years. Was an altar boy. Went through all the motions. Holy Communion, confirmation. Even got married in the Catholic Church. But I never had that relationship with Jesus that that I have today. And I'm not taking anything away from what my parents had originally set out for me to have, or the education that I did have, and the Catholic faith and their denomination whatsoever. I'm not going there. But I really missed the mark. And it wasn't until later in life that I discovered that, you know, there is a path for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And started in the 70s when I met my wife, Kathy, and they were attending a church in Van Nuys called Central Christian Church. And I was going on Sundays as well. And then they had a softball team, and I wanted to play. And in order to play, you needed to go to church. So here I was.
God uses sports.
He uses sports. Amen. Still does. And, of course, he uses many other things. But anyway, at the time, I was just, 18 years old, 17 years old, I guess. And, of course, I wanted to play, and I wanted to had this girlfriend. And I said, well, go to church. I had Dodger van here in the front. And I did. And, of course, I continued to go to church. And all through the 80s and up until the 90s. Meanwhile, we're married now, and we've got two children, and Mandy and John Jr. And that was our church home, Central Christian. And also they had merged in, with the Little Brown Church from the Coldwater Canyon area, and they were known as Church of the Valley at the time. That's where Rob and we played softball against the Hillcrest kids.
We figured that out. We played against each other, and we were both playing sports.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
But God had a bigger picture, didn't he?
A lot of bad words going on in the field during the night. My goodness. But anyway, later on, I really wanted to get that relationship with the Lord, and some friends grabbed me and said, "Hey, come on, we're going to a place called the Promise Keepers." And this was at the L.A. Memorial Coliseum in the early 90s. And there I was with 90,000 other men, all walking the same path I was, confused, wanted to get closer to God, but really was left field somewhere. And I remember it was a two-day event, and the second morning during the worship time, they had the Maranatha Promise Band playing, and boy, they were terrific. And I was standing up, I had my hands raised, and we were singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And I felt this one time, the Holy Spirit entered my body, and he entered my body through light beams that were going through my hands. I felt the sun in both of my palms of my hands, like there were nails on the cross. I go, wow, well, this is an amazing feeling. Anyway, that whole rest of the day, I was on fire, and they had an altar call. Amen. Altar call, and I went forward. I just jumped out of that chair and came all the way down them steps. Got on my knees and asked God to really come into my life. And I remember the next day, that night, I went home and I told my wife. She goes, "Oh, well, sure you did. Oh, let's see how you last." You know. Anyway, she didn't really doubt me. She kind of did, but she didn't. But I was determined that I was going to change my life. Like Rob said, a different person then than I am today. I could say different things. I would see things differently. Not good. Not bad. I wasn't really a bad person by any means, but I would, I wasn't on all cylinders. I needed to be walking with God. And, of course, having a daughter in the ministry as well, we were always around her and her music. And then she let me be a part of that as well, too. So that was always a gift. So these are all blessings from God, and I just needed to get baptized. And I was baptized as a baby, but it wasn't my choice. It was my parents' choice. And that's how they did things back then, and they still do. But I needed to stand up and say, hey, this is me. And I did it. And that day was amazing. Unbelievable. Another great experience was the Holy Spirit that just got a hold of me. And since then, it's been wonderful. And sure, challenging us, of course. We always, I yell at the TV quite a bit, especially the last few days with our Dodgers. Thank God they beat the Giants. But anyway, the last thing I did wanted to say was your life can change. You can be a different person than you are now or what you used to be. And the one thing that I always think about, but I don't dwell on it, is that I wish I was the person I am today when I was raising my children. A little bit different then. Things were tough. I'd say things that I really didn't mean, but it just came out. But I'm doing a better job today because I've got grandkids. So I'm making up for that. So anyway, that's pretty much it, Rob.
Is that awesome?
We can all follow the same kind of path somehow. Whatever it may be, give your life to the Lord, and he'll bless you tremendously.
I did this first service. John was 42 when he gave his life to the Lord, and it's never too late. And I love John's testimony. There's so many more layers to this, but you got the Cliff Note version. But God is in the business of changing lives. Amen. And we're glad that God has changed your life, John, and that you're a part of the team here.
Thank you.
Let's give it up for John. Thank you, brother. He's the kind of guy you just want to hang out with at Cavaretta's and talk story. He's so chill and just love his authenticity. Church, what Jesus saw when he said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail," is he saw a church that is focused on what is important, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, loving God and loving people. Will you be open to continuing to change? Because healthy things grow. Father, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your love, your grace. Thank you for John. Continue to bless his story as a grandpa and as a dad and as a husband. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your tender mercy.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at wvcch.org, or you can join us live in one of our Sunday services. Have a great day.
You forget all.